Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the most humpiest of days of them all. It's Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. This is episode 532 of Them Two Dumb Yinzers, and we're back. What's going on, Mike?
I got nothing to start the show. I'm just happy to be here on this cold, miserable day in PA.
532, Mike. I was looking at the numbers, and it looks like by the end of this year, we will crack 700.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So we'll be in the 700s by time this year ends. Very exciting stuff. But no stuff more exciting than what's going on here at the show today, because back from the dead.
Yes.
Back from the, I don't know what he has going on with him. We thought about it. We figured out that it may be herpes, it may be scabies, it may be ringworm. But Derpy's back in the house today. Derpy, how you feeling?
You know, I still feel like crap, but I'm going in because I love doing this.
I know you do, Derpy. I tried to say it was probably, you know, the common cold or the flu, but Mike insisted that it was probably ringworm, tetter, psoriasis. I mean, there was a handful of things Mike said it could have possibly been.
I was leaning towards scabies.
And I was like, no, Derpy don't have scabies. How would he get scabies? And so what is it? Is it a stomach thing? You shitting a lot?
Yeah, I think it's a cold.
Really?
It's just a common cold.
Yeah, sometimes them are the worst.
Let's hope for something better than the common cold. Sorry, Derpy.
He really wanted scabies. He had his
I
money.
Really, on, I had my money on scabies.
He did lose $10.
I don't know anyone who's ever had scabies. I was like, this is my chance.
Yeah,
this is my chance.
And by him saying that, I kind of thought, wow, yeah, you know what? I never had known anybody with scabies either.
Yeah, so you know, it was like, you know what?
This is really a win-win for me, because if it's not scabies, I beat Mike and get my $10. Yeah. But if it is scabies, hey. Derpy has scabies, so, but it's not the projectile diarrhea and the vomiting that we thought. It's just kind of maybe a congestion. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
You're all stuffy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you hang in there, little buddy. There's going to be a special place in podcast heaven for people like you. You just hang in there. Keep fighting the good fight. And
podcast heaven.
That's right.
I know I'm not going to podcast heaven because I was rooting for scabies.
There was nothing Mike wanted more than for you to have scabies. It was really one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen.
Nothing personal, Derpy. It was just, you know.
Yeah.
Right at that moment, you were my best chance to know someone who had scabies.
Yeah. I mean, Mike isn't getting any younger, so keep that in mind, Derpy.
No, I'm not.
Keep that in mind when you're around scabies spreading people.
See, that's why you're blessed with the bald head.
Shut up.
Is that the reminder? Every time he sees that bald head, yeah. All right. That's fair. One has scabies and the other has a bald head. Yeah. We're pulling in the chicks today, guys.
Yes, we are. With the scabies and the, you know.
Yeah.
We're pulling in all the viewers and all the chicks.
All right, so I guess we got to crack this egg. I really didn't want to. But the more I thought about it, Mike, you might be right.
I am right.
Let me work into this. Pirates played the second game of a two-game set against the Tigers yesterday at home. Last home game before they head over to Philadelphia for 4, and then to New York for 3, and then they'll be back home. The story is, guys, Pirates take a 3-1 lead into the ninth inning. And I got to tell you, Martin Perez really pitched a gem. He, in my opinion, he should have stayed in for the complete game, because listen to his numbers. He pitched eight innings, gave up 6 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, and had 7 strikeouts. One hell of a game by Martin Perez. And in the ninth inning, they go to their go-to guy, David Bednar. And he gets, comes in with a 3-1 lead in the ninth inning. All you got to do is get these guys out. It's over. We go 10-2, head off to Philadelphia. Bednar comes in, pitches one third of an inning, gives up 3 hits, 4 earned runs, and a walk. No K's. A lot of the argument and speculation is he's not exactly healthy yet. He had surgery during the offseason, didn't pitch in the spring training, jumped back into the closer role, and he has blown 3 saves out of the Pirates' 12 games played so far. You got to think they've been playing good, and they've been scoring a lot of runs, so they haven't needed a save guy as often. So in 12 total possible games, Bednar has blown 3 saves.
Not good.
They lose, drop to 9-3. Tigers win. They go to 7-4, split the series. Albeit the Steelers or the Pirates are only second to the Yankees, but there's more. But wait, it gets worse. More.
Gets worse.
Really?
Well, before it gets worse, let's build the steps, because it gets worse and then it gets worse and then it gets worse. So Roense Contreras comes in to close the game out. He does wonderful. He gets 2/3 of an inning, gives up no hits, no runs, no walks. He has 1K. But David Bednar gives up 4 runs again to lead to the Pirates losing this game to the Tigers 5-3. Now, here's what's going on, guys. Let me tell you a little bit more about this game. In the game, Oliveras goes 2 for 4. Those 2 hits, both home runs. So it isn't like the Pirates played a bad game.
Yeah.
They take a 3-1 gem by Perez into the ninth inning. Oliveras goes 2 for 4. Two of those hits, they're both home runs. Brian Hayes has 2 hits. He has an RBI. Reynolds, Williams, Davis, Tellez, they all have a hit. Good game. I mean, this was a good game, guys. If you watched it, and you know what's funny, Mike? I watched it all the way till the ninth inning. I had to go to work, so I laid down for about an hour. And it was that last hour, and I was very, very, very shocked when I woke up to find out that they lost. But they did lose on a ninth inning meltdown by David Bednar. Again, his third blown save this season. The Pirates played 12 total. So after Bednar is in there and he gets pulled, the crowd decides to start booing him. 10,000 plus in a Tuesday afternoon game. They boo the hometown guy, David Bednar. They boo the all-star, David Bednar. Yep. They boo the renegade. They boo the closer. And I want to say this, and keep in mind, who was the person who said that it should have been Chapman and they're closing these games out? But I'll get back to that in a minute. So let me pull up my page here real quick. And this is where it gets interesting. Mike walks up to me after I get home from the radio station yesterday. I met him at the studio. Mike walks over to me, and you know what he says? He says, "You know what? These Pirates are soft."
Soft.
And I said to myself, well, I mean, come on. You know, pitched a really good game, really great game. Gave it up in the ninth. We lost. We're still 9-3. Now, this is before I find out what's going on. This is what happens after the game in the locker room. As David Bednar, our closer, is getting interviewed, Rowdy Tellez, as Bednar's being interviewed about the blown save, Rowdy Tellez comes in and chimes in and says this, quote, "This is the pride of Pittsburgh to everybody. We don't do that out here. We're a good team," referring to booing our players. "We don't do that out here. We're a good team. We're winning for a reason. We're going to get our man back on track. But what happened today, I think, is unacceptable. And as a group in Pittsburgh, got to be a lot better. This is an all-star for a reason," speaking of David Bednar, "and we have to be better." And, you know,
he has a fair point.
I think both sides have a good argument. After I thought about it, because I played the devil's advocate with Mike immediately at the studio, because I didn't hear the story yet. I had to be difficult. And I said, you know what? They're still winning. I don't really care. But as I look more into this, Do we A, continue to boo these Pirates when we're not happy with what's going on, because we as Pirate fans know how it is. And the only thing that the Pirates seem to understand is tough love, because, you know, come down to the team, you know, I mean, people talking about not showing up for games, these kind of things, because the team stinks. So we as Pirates fans are very seasoned to what goes on with this Pirates team. You get excited at the beginning of the season, they fall off, they play good after the All-Star break, they fall off, and it's over. So we want a little bit more than somebody just, you know, talking a good talk. So are we okay by booing our players, and in this case, David Bednar, when we're not satisfied with what's going on the team? Or do we not boo and keep the good vibes and say, you know what, you know, these are isolated incidences. Maybe, just maybe, David Bednar isn't feeling great after, you know, his recovery from injury. And you keep the peace. You keep a good rapport with the fans and the team. That way they come out and they continue to play. We want to come out and continue to support and keep the good vibes. Is this way too early? Is this way too early?
No.
For these kind of things to start happening? You're 9-2, 9-3.
No.
I mean, if it was a more crucial point in the season, say we're a half game difference from a team and somebody comes in and blows their third save and how many, you know, whatever days, then you boo. Guys, we're 2 weeks into the season. Is this premature?
No.
Should we have let this go?
No, because.
Are we going to micromanage this team from top to bottom for 162 games on every single little move they make?
If you do well, they get cheered and they love it. But when they do bad, they don't want to be booed. No, you get the cheers, you get the boos. You do well, you get the cheers. You do bad, you get the boos. Like I was telling you, Ryan, and like I've been saying on Twitter too, we booed Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers off the field. You know what they did? They went in halftime and said, you know what? We don't like that. So they go out there and they play better and they win. We've booed Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Letang off the ice for the power play. Well, no, this year they haven't improved, but in years past, let's see what works and
let me ask
do
you this.
Better. Those
let
guys have won
this.
Championships.
Like, let me ask you
and
this.
We boo them.
If David Bednar hadn't already blown two saves in the first 10 games, would you still be okay if he blew a save yesterday and people would have booed?
Yes. Yes.
So you're not, in your eyes, you're not allowed to make a single mistake anywhere.
No, you can make mistakes,
games.
But you're going to get booed for it. Just as you do well, you're going to get cheered for it. That's the name. That's the nature of the business. If you don't like it, hang up the cleats, hang up the skates, go do something else. That's sports. You get cheered when you do well, you get booed
when
you don't
do well.
Which
I generally agree with. I do.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was, I mean, yes, it was a boo situation, but again, on the other hand, it really wasn't a boo situation. Yes. I'm going to look to refer to the board for a second. Good morning, Brian. Brian says, from his understanding, they weren't booing, they were booing Shelton, not Bednar. Can anybody confirm this?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around, but to me, that's like, oh, they're trying to protect Bednar. And I'm sorry, this baseball team is softer than baby shit.
Wait, who's trying to protect Bednar?
Like the team, the organization's fans, or even like, oh, we weren't booing Bednar, we were booing Shelton. No.
Well, can't we? I mean, don't we take the person's word that actually says that they're booing Shelton and we can't?
Yeah,
I mean, why are we not believing?
No, people were booing Shelton. But
are they lying,
people,
Mike? Is that
they
what's
were
going
booing,
on?
People
are the
were
fans
booing
lying?
Bednar as well, but a lot of people trying to make it, oh, no, we were all booing Shelton. No, there were people booing Bednar, probably people booing Shelton as well. They were booing everyone, and they deserve to be booed.
But they did. They don't. Everyone didn't deserve to be booed. It was a great game, and the
well,
team played a great game.
Deserved to be booed.
The team played a great game. As a matter of fact, it might have been the best game I've seen the team play all year, from top to bottom until that ninth inning.
But I don't understand. Like in this town, like we can't boo people who have never won a championship. We can only boo champions in this town. I've noticed. Like no one had a problem when we booed Ben. We booed Terry Bradshaw back in the day. We booed Lemieux, Yager, Francis, we booed all these Hall of Famers, but guys who have never won anything, we can't boo. I've noticed that in this town.
Well, I'm not seeing anybody say that they shouldn't boo. Is not the point. I don't know if that's really the argument. Let me get back to that. Aroldis Chapman comes in 2 games ago, and he has one out. bases loaded, comes out, blows a couple 100 plus miles per hour pitches past the batters, strikes out two guys that got out of that jam. Bases loaded, one out. That, I mean, that's a sticky situation. He comes in, strikes out two guys, gets out of the inning. Why is this not the resolve? Mm-hmm. And for people to say, well, he's 36, it doesn't matter if he's performing. The guy comes out there and does what he does. Put this guy at your closing spot, which I've been saying all along. I just think he's a better pitcher than Bednar is, and you know, overall.
World Series champion.
And yeah, I mean, before he was a World Series champion, he was better than most pitchers. When he played for the Reds all those years, when he faced us, the guy's just he's just a top-notch closer.
Yeah, like the people, when it, you know, I'm going to circle back to Bednar here, tied together. People said, oh, you can't boom. The past few years, he's been an all-star. Well, this year he has been, you know, past 3 years, Chapman wasn't the Chapman of old, but this year he is. So, yeah, you base everything on what's happening now. Like Ryan's saying, Bednar right now should not be the closer because Chapman right now is pitching like the closer of old that he was, and Bednar's not pitching like the way he did last year. So, yeah, Chapman should be the closer, and Bednar, the way he is pitching now, should have to fight for a spot in the rotation until he can figure it out what's going
Chapman
on.
Chapman is harder to hit.
Yeah.
He throws plus 100, you know, every pitch, every other pitch. And what my argument was this. It's not that I don't like Ben. I do like Ben. Yeah. But my argument was this. You face pitching all game. And you face the starter. He, over time, velocity goes down. Then you get your relief pitcher in, who's not as good as the starter, but he pitches well. And over an inning or two, his velocity goes down. And then you face Chapman in the eighth inning. He blows the by you at 100 miles an hour and gets the side out. And then you come back and then you face a guy that's not as fast and as effective as Chapman. So you're going back against the nature, I would think, of the progression that you would want to have. Mm-hmm. You want Chapman come in and blow that ball past them batters in the ninth inning and get the game over with. But no, he comes back to, you know, again, Bednar, he has a heavier pitch, but it doesn't reach 100. So you're basically downgrading a little bit. Now you're facing a slower pitch. Now you're facing I think that Chapman should be in that position. I thought that he should be in that position. And now that I'm hearing and reading that his injury isn't quite healed, or that's what the speculation is, there's no reason at all that he shouldn't be closing. And we have the bullpen to pull that off.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be throwing in the eighth inning. He just doesn't. If he pitches in the ninth inning, I think we're going to be far more successful. Mm-hmm. Because you have that, you have, you know, the whole Chapman experience, and you've seen how that's been played out for 15, 20, however long it's been. We've been on the wrong side of this many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this year, man, his arm seems so much better than it has been the past couple of years when, you know, he wasn't racking up those high saves. So now, like, shit, put him in there now. Let him, because like I said, man, he's looking like the closer that, like you said, Ryan, that we've been on the wrong side of. Now he's looking like that guy that he hasn't looked like in the past couple of years. So you put him in that, he comes in the ninth. And then when, you know, Bednar can finish it out, he can be your eighth inning pitcher. Then you get Holderman back. Guess what? Your starter might only have to go seven innings. You can have Holderman,
that kind
Bednar,
of Chapman. Where I'm going to go next. Brian says on the board, he says, my info is coming directly from people that were at the game. Number one, for pulling the starter, which is reasonable. Yeah. Your starter pitches eight innings, gives up six hits, one earned run. He throws zero walks. And he has seven Ks. And Martin Perez has been successful so far this year to this point. I understand that. Why not let this guy finish out? If he has problems in the ninth, then bring in somebody to help him. Second part of the comment says, also booing for leaving Bednar in the game too long, which is once he let up four runs.
Yeah.
He got one out.
Three hits.
Four runs, gave up three hits, had no strikeouts.
No, nothing.
And Derek Shelton, which a lot of times pitchers, especially in Pittsburgh, do, is when a pitcher's pitching bad, they leave him in way too long.
Oh, yeah. It's just, he did it. Clint Hurdle did it. It, you know.
So who was being... So what I'm trying to gather here is the information to decide whether the fans were booing Bednar or Shelton, because I think booing Shelton was 100% acceptable. Yeah. I think the booing the coach in this situation for the two things that are mentioned, why pull mm-hmm. Perez and why leave Bednar in too long? You should have left Perez in there longer
and
got Bednar the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But that's opposite of what that would happen, and this team loses this baseball game, Mike.
Yeah, and, you know, Boo Shelton and Boo Shelton for his terrible decisions and Bednar for blowing the game. And, you know, this is what happens in pro sports. You're judged for what's happening now. People are going to react on that. Yes, he was a great pitcher the past 2 years, and I hope he returns to that form. But guess what? I'm going to cheer you, and I'm going to boo you.
People don't understand. I'm a booer. Don't get me wrong. If you deserve to be booed, I'm going to boo you. I don't know if I'm just having a hard time. I'm trying to, because like I said, I slept that last inning, which unfortunately I wish that I wouldn't have now. And I usually tape the game, and I did. It happened like this for a reason.
Yeah, but like, and then like people are like, "Oh, Rowdy, oh, he's such a great teammate, sticking up for his player." Like he cut off the interview before it even started, made Bednar look weak by doing it. Let Bednar address what happened.
I mean, are people saying that, or was that your take?
No, that's what happened. Like, he stopped it. He came in and said what he said, what you read at the top of the show. Like, you don't walk into someone else's interview. You let them handle the.
I mean, did Bednar seem offended, or did he?
He had that look on it. He had the look. He didn't look like he was comfortable with what happened. That's how I'm reading the situation. Like, someone else might read it differently, but it looked like he had that smile on. You know, you get that smile on when people are talking to you. That
no, I don't.
The
smile.
One talking right now.
Yeah.
I know. I've never seen you smile in your life.
I've never smiled once.
But you know what I mean? Like, you get that smile, like, oh, yeah, thanks right. for talking to me. But he didn't look comfortable with it. So I don't know. I just didn't like the whole situation around it. Like, you're making your teammate look soft, and you're a pro athlete. You're going to be booed. This is Pittsburgh. You know, we boo everyone equally. Yeah. And we cheer everyone equally.
My thing is this. With this baseball team, it's a long 162-game season. In a 16-game season, your feelings are a lot more intense during a period of a game. Even during an 82-game hockey season, your feelings may be more intense because, again, it's not so long and drawn out. Me, personally, I'm upset with Coach Shelton. I think he made two bad calls late in this game that cost us the game. I'm upset with David Bednar if he knowingly is injured and continues to go out there and say he's okay. If that not be the case, I'm still booing Derek Shelton because I don't like that decision that he made. However, for the vibes, I wouldn't have booed because, again, I think that this team needs to, you know, they need positive reinforcement. Well, they're not the Yankees here.
Yeah, but this team, though, they can't afford to lose games like this like they have in the bag. You know, it's not a team that can overcome the mistakes later on in the season.
Yeah.
So they need these wins.
But again, this time last year, guys, we were 6-4. We are ahead of the game. We're ahead of the curve. Let me give you some scoop here. The division looks like this. The Pirates are top. The Brewers are one game behind, which means we will be at least in first place going into tomorrow. The most we could lose is a half game to the Brewers, providing they win. They're one game back. The Cubbies are 1.5 back. The Reds are 2.5 back. The Cardinals are 3 back in the division. In today's schedule, and the division looks like this. The Brewers play at the Reds. The Cubs play at the Padres. And Philly finishes up their season against the Cardinals, or their series against the Cardinals, which is where we go tomorrow to play Philly. So, you know, we could gain ground, we could lose ground, whatever it is, no matter what, we're still in first place. We still have the second record only to the Yankees and the majors. But Mike believes that this team is soft as baby shit.
They're soft as baby shit. You can't handle booing. Babies. Little babies. Baseball players are babies anyway.
Let people reason for a second. And everybody make that, babies. You know, see what you think. You heard what I thought.
Like, I want this team to win, but now I want to buy tickets to every game just so I can boo every time Bednar comes.
You're not
in
a normal person.
And then boo every time Telez comes. I'm just gonna boo them all.
I think you have deep seated anger issues. I can't figure out why.
Oh, they're not deep seated anger issues. That's bad.
Oh, no, they're deep seated.
No, I just hate people.
I tried to peel back the layers, and I see nothing but dark soul.
No, if you can't handle a boo as a pro athlete,
but nobody said he couldn't handle a boo.
No, Rowdy showed up like
he didn't show. You know,
we don't do that here. We don't do that here. We don't boo. We don't
supporting
boo.
His guy and keeping the mentality and the good vibes. I don't necessarily disagree.
We only cheer.
But again, I'm a booer. I will boo anybody. I'm not against booing. That's one of my favorite parts of sports.
Everything must be cheered. Everything must be cheered.
In your deranged mind, yes, but
everything must be cheered. That's what People are telling me on
So,
Twitter,
you
everything's
think
going to
that
be cheerful.
they do you think that they want to be cheered after they blew a loss and a blew a win and
That's
loss?
what
Is that what you
Rowdy
think?
sounded like. That's what Telez sounded
That's
like.
not what he said.
That's what he
That's
sounded. We don't
wrong.
do that here. We don't do that here. We don't boo here.
See,
So if we don't boo, we only
he
cheer.
left it open to interpretation, which allows people like you to make it sound a lot worse than it
No,
was, is the way I'm
he
seeing it.
literally said, we don't do that here. We don't boo
I
here.
understand. I read the article. I don't know if you remember that,
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
read this. And I'm just not getting what you're. I'm not here. But
I don't know.
again, you're. You
He said,
know,
we don't do that here, so we just cheer. I'm cheer every
did he
loss.
say
I'm
we
cheer.
just cheer? I don't think that he
No,
said we just cheer.
he said we don't do that here, referring to boo. So if you can't boo, what's the opposite of booing?
Doing nothing.
Cheering.
Well, that's not what he said. Again, this is you
That's the
creating
opposite.
narrative, and that's not exactly what was said. So,
Well, yeah, this is a sports talk show. That's what we're supposed to create that
right.
narrative.
And I'm just telling you why that. You know, I'm
Why
shutting you
I'm right?
down.
Why I'm right? Why I'm
I'm
right?
telling everyone why you are incorrect, and I
Why
think that
you're by inadvertently telling them why I'm right.
that's wrong
That's right.
because he's never said that we only cheer, and if you don't think the
But
booing is okay,
you take out his logically what he said.
you
He
can't do that.
implied
Mike,
we
that
don't
now
boo
is your
here.
interpretation.
We
That's
don't
your
boo.
story, and that's
We
your
don't boo. We
interview.
don't do that
That's your
here.
quote.
So then the next logical step would
No,
be
you
to
can't
only
do that.
cheer. You can
You
just
can't
cheer.
assume that's what he was going to
You can
say.
cheer or go like
Because if
this.
he may not believe that at all. So you're saying that
You
this is
have
what
to
he meant.
cheer or be quiet. Cheer or be quiet. That's what he's implying.
That's not what he
You
said.
can't
Well,
boo.
so
He said you can't boo.
he didn't say you can't boo.
He said we don't do that
We
here.
don't do that here.
We don't
And
do that
again,
here. So
I
that
would
means
like
it
to hear
literally means
more of
we
what
don't
he has
boo.
to say out of the bull's mouth than to hear speculation, wouldn't you?
That he literally said we don't do that here,
Again,
referring to
I'm very well
booing the
aware of what he
player.
said. As a
So
matter of
that
fact,
means
I can
we're
read it
not
to you
allowed to
right
boo.
now
He's
one more
telling
time.
fans they cannot boo. He's telling people who pay their hard-earned money, pay his salary, that they cannot cheer or that they can't boo.
That's
You have
not
a
what he
positive
said.
record, though.
Yeah, the team is the second
They
best team
do
in the
have the
league.
second best record.
So I'm just going to
But
totally ignore this at the end of the day because I think it's silly. But you know, this team, they have a chance to get back on track against Philadelphia tomorrow. This Philly team's not good. We go there for four, and Jared Jones is on the hill tomorrow. He comes in with a 1-1 record, a 3.86 ERA, and 17 Ks so far on the season. This Jared Jones, I can see. Hopefully, the series starts out good. But of course, last weekend we started out with Jones and we lost that game, so there's no guarantees. But the tomorrow 6:40 is game one at Philly. Pittsburgh Pirates coming off a loss. They haven't done it twice in a row all season. We'll see if they could fight it. We'll see if they could if they could fight that
They'll
off
find a way.
and not run their first two game their two losses in a row all season.
Yeah, hopefully, they'll bounce back.
I
They'll
think they're
bounce
going to be
back.
fine.
Yeah, they're a soft team, but they're going to bounce back.
And I have seen nothing that shows me that this is a soft team. But anyway, guys, we do have to move on. I want to talk about, just for a second, we talked about some of these other guys that got involved yesterday and had a good offensive day. Two hits for Hayes, two home runs for Olivares. Brian Reynolds had a hit. Now, Brian Reynolds, guys, I want to talk about this for a second. You know what? Before I get into Brian Reynolds, let me say this. Let me say this. This is according to CBS Sports app. This is about the team. Then I'll get into Brian Reynolds. With the division the way that it is right now, as I read, the Bucks at top, the Brewers in second, one game back, the Cubs in third, 1.5, the Reds 2.5, the Cards 3. This is what the CBS app says the percentage chances are of each team in our division making the playoffs. You ready for this? The best chance for the teams in our division to make the playoffs, the second place Brewers with an 81.3% chance. They are currently in second place, 6-3 record. The second best team who has the best chances of making the postseason, according to the CBS Sports app, the St. Louis Cardinals,
Really? What?
39% last place right now, three games out. The third most likely team to make the playoffs in the division, the Pirates with a 13.4%, who is in first place right now.
Huh.
The fourth best chance to make the playoffs out of the division would be Chicago with a 7.4% chance. Who's constantly or who's currently sitting in the fourth seed with a 6-4 record. And finally, the Cincinnati Reds, less than 1% chance. Who's in fourth place right now? Third place right now. So, guys, Milwaukee, 81%. St. Louis, the cellar dweller for the past two seasons, and not looking too much better this year. Already sitting in last place, three games out. Milwaukee, 81.3. St. Louis, 39. And the Pirates, 13. So not only the Pittsburgh Pirates fans know what to expect from this team, but CBS obviously does too.
That we're going to do the typical Pirates have a good month or two and then fall back. I hope that's not the case. But that's just wild. Best or second best record in baseball, and we have terrible chances.
Yeah.
Use that disrespect. You know what Derpy always talks about, the disrespect. Use it to fuel them. So what the Pirates need to do is have my mug up there calling them soft as baby shit next to this pool right here. And that's going to catapult them into a wild card berth and then to the World Series.
I just know baseball players are weird. They're mental. And you notice when you watch this game, these guys are mental. Unlike any other sport with the superstitions and everything, I don't know. I just thought I would have let yesterday slide. And again, if I would have booed for anybody, I would have definitely booed Shelton, which I still am going to boo because I think that those moves were wrong. They're wrong.
We need to go to a game and just let me have my sign that says boo, Ryan.
They made the wrong moves.
They did. It was a bad move.
And they lost because of it. So
hasn't that been the theme though for the past like 6 years? Bad moves by the manager. Whoever the manager is, bad moves seem to cost this team in the long run.
Well, think about Shelton. I think he's a good guy and he's okay for the job, but you know, he doesn't come off as a great baseball coach to me by any means. Brian Reynolds, guys, he hit his 100th home run two nights ago. He's having a good season so far. He became the 25th Pittsburgh Pirate to hit 100 home runs in Pittsburgh Pirate uniforms. You guys want to hear? You want to hear a list?
I want to hear a list. I like a good list.
Should I go top to bottom or bottom to top? Because Reynolds is the very last person because he just reached it.
Yeah, work our way up from Reynolds. Who's before him?
Brian Reynolds has 100. Also has 100. Garrett Jones. Garrett Jones had 100 home runs in a Pirate uniform. A couple of these next few guys are a little bit before our time. You may or you may not recognize some of these names, so just bear with me. Bob Robertson has 106. Dan Clendon has 106. Al Martin, we all remember Al.
I remember Al. I liked Al Martin.
107. Sterling Marte, 108. Paul Wagner, 109. Bill Robinson, 109. Bobby Bonilla, 114 home runs in a Pirate uniform. Andy Van Slyke, 117 home runs in a Pirate uniform. Dick Stewart, 117. Richie Hebner, 128. Pedro Alvarez, 131 home runs in a Pirate uniform. Al Oliver, 135. Al Martin's teammate, Mike, for a long time, Kevin Young.
Yep.
136 home runs.
He had that weird swing, too, that Kevin Young did.
He had that weird face going.
He was like a golf swing. It was a weird all-around look.
You know when like a kid gets hit or something and they do that thing with their face before they start crying or they curl their lip? That's what Kevin Young's face looked like. Bill Mazeroski, 138.
No way.
Jason Bay, 139. Frank Thomas, not the Frank Thomas, but our Frank Thomas, 163. Brian Giles, 165.
No way.
In a Pirate uniform. Dave Parker, 166.
Cobra.
Barry Bonds in a Pirate uniform, 176 home runs.
Before the roids.
Allegedly.
Next on the list, Andrew McCutchen, just above Barry Bonds with 215. Roberto Clemente, 240 home runs. Would have been more if he wouldn't have passed. Ralph Kiner, 301 home runs. And finally, the top of the all-time Pirate home run hitting list while wearing a Pirate uniform, where all these guys, number one on the list is Willie Stargell with 475 home runs.
Really?
So Brian Reynolds joins a really, really great group of hitters. I mean,
yeah, that is one.
I mean, even the guys that I wasn't alive yet, you know their names. You know who these guys are. You know that they were good.
Yep.
But congratulations, Big Stacks. You know what? I give it to him again. I boo him when he deserves it, and I'm going to give it to him when he deserved it. And I got to say, Brian Reynolds, congratulations. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that he was nearing 100. So there you go. Mike, let's change direction for a few minutes. Penguins back in action tomorrow. They play the Red Wings. Penguins got to keep. They got to find a way to win these last four games.
Yeah, big time.
They want to have any chance to make their way to the playoffs.
Especially after last night's results.
What's that?
Especially after last night's results.
Really?
Capitals end up winning, and so did. I forget who else won, but yeah, the Capitals won. So therefore, like if Islanders. The Islanders, yeah, and I think like if the Capitals went out. So we have no chance of catching them. Same thing like the Islanders went out. We'll finish below them in the standings. It got a lot more difficult after last night.
Not Penguin news, but you did mention the Capitals. Alexander Ovechkin, Mike, became the first player in NHL history with 18 seasons of at least 30 goals.
Jeez. Eight steady Eddie Jeez. Right there with that goal scoring.
How impressive.
That's just nuts. I hate that guy.
All the more,
he's a goal scorer.
All the more, it's going to turn that Crosby and Ovechkin rivalry into more of a classic. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, so yep. I and as much we said, as long as they're not in our way and trying to make a cup, I have no problem respecting and enjoying what he does. Yep. So good for him.
Crosby will have more Stanley Cups. Then he'll have more goals. So there's going to be the argument. So which was more important? Championships for the goals.
Well, one's more important for the team. One's more important for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pitt has the big blue gold game this weekend. Saturday at 2:00 down at Acrisure Stadium. Admission is free if you want to get down and watch the Pitt blue gold game. Also, College Mike, Indiana State's Robbie Avila, also known as Larry Nerd. I know you've seen this guy. He's taken the college basketball world by storm. Larry Nerd, a.k.a. Robert Avila, has entered the portal, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh.
It's awesome, there's a though. Part of me that wants him to play here. I
want him to come to Pitt. You know? I want to see him here at Pitt. I want to see him with those goofy-ass glasses shooting threes.
The zoo just loving him. And yeah.
Wherever he goes, he's going to be a fan favorite of that student section. So I like it. This is why you have the portal for a guy like this from a small school like Indiana State, goes to the NIT, makes it to the finals. Okay, you can get into a bigger program, get in a better stage, you know, see if that can help make his game better. I don't think he's on NBA material, but you know, get on that bigger stage, man. I like it.
Also in college basketball, on the women's side, Gabby Marshall, from the championship losing Iowa Hawkeyes, she has to delete all of her social medias after receiving death threats.
Yep.
Mike, are the death threats okay too, or just the booing?
Just the booing. Okay. Death threats, that crosses a bit of a line. Even I never go that far.
Yeah, you know, and little Gabby Marshall, who's extremely hot, don't get me wrong. I forget what it was. It was the foul called in the second to last game. And all of a sudden, she starts getting all this stuff on her social media, getting death threats, things like this. Yeah. Mike, is death threats, does that have a place in sports?
No, it's sports. It's not that serious, people. Even if you got money on it, it's not that serious. And, you know, I blame, like, those ex-UConn players that they were the ones, they were helped feeding the fire, not for the death threats, but, like, you know what? She shouldn't have flopped if she didn't want to get hate.
You know, because nobody in basketball flops.
Yeah.
Especially if you look up to your pros. Yep. Nobody in the NBA flops. I mean, come on. What are you doing, Gabby?
Yeah, Gabby. Come on. So, like, you know, you ever, you know,
star. I can't imagine Yeah, I can't imagine why she found this to be something that could be successful.
It works, man. It works. But yeah, getting death threats for it, get the hell out of here, people. Grow
Come
up.
on, grow up, throw garbage in his yard like we did to Tommy Maddox,
Like,
and move on with your life.
burn stuff in their yard like real
Yeah,
people, like
come
real
on.
passionate fans.
Come on, that's just ridiculous. Brian says,
I
I heard
don't
Marshall actually deleted all of her social media because Derpy asked her out. Derpy!
know.
Oh,
Derpy,
man.
come
Is this true?
on,
Derpy, come on, man.
bro.
Every chick that Derpy ever asked out deleted all their social
Like
media.
he's sliding in, Derpy's sliding into those DMs. He's a dog.
Making us think that he's sick.
That's where he was yesterday.
Yeah. It was all up on Gabby Marshall's Instagram. Soccer, Mike, European power Liverpool FC will face a Spanish club in exhibition at Acrisure Stadium on July 26, guys. This is kind of a cool thing. I mean, the soccer movement, especially here in Pittsburgh. How do you think it's going to do?
It'll do it. It'll draw. It'll draw. There are, you go down to these bars in Pittsburgh that have all the games going on for the premiership on, I think it's like Saturday mornings. They are packed with the fans. So being able to get the teams here, Heinz Field is going to be sold out. It's going to be packed, even though it isn't, just an exhibition. You're not going to have all the, you're not going to have like your all your starters play. But it's going to be cool to see, Liverpool FC. And I forget, who are they playing? I can't remember because I saw that yesterday too. I took a
Spanish club, I don't
screenshot and
know.
I apparently deleted it, so I can't remember either. But yeah, it's going to be a packed house.
News just in, Gabby Marshall was actually not mad that Derpy was on her social media, but after she found out that he had scabies is when she went on to decide to delete everything. So that's the scoop as we move forward. Derpy, you got to do something about them scabies, brother. Let's go over to football, guys. Steelers. Derpy reported to me yesterday that Miles Boykin is now a New York Giant, which isn't that important because he's not very productive on offense. He is a good special teams guy, which you got to make that up somewhere, and you do have to fill out your receiver room. So we're still in the market here. We have to figure out what's going on with this receiver position. But Mike, 2 to 2 weeks, we have the draft. We're going to answer a lot of questions. Then after the draft, you got free agency. You got the people, the unsigned, all these guys. Things are going to happen. 2 weeks, Mike. And I know you're chomping at the bit.
I am. I'm getting so nervous right now because we still need a center. We still need wide receiver and cornerbacks, number, two, both those spots. It's getting very, very, very worrisome that we haven't made any moves on those positions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we got the corner from Jacksonville, but come on now. I just don't see it. I don't see him as the number two. I see him as the number three. So we need a starter there. We need someone opposite George still.
He's still going on about the quarterback that had 14 interceptions in 5 years.
Yeah, they had nothing last year and got burnt last year. Yeah.
What?
He got
Like he has
burnt
four,
last year.
like everybody gets burned.
Yeah, but
He has 14
he
interceptions.
had a down year last
I would
year.
take four interceptions. I mean, come on, right?
I
We
don't
don't have
know.
anybody that has. When was the last time we had anybody on this team that had 14 interceptions in their repertoire?
I don't know. I'm just not sold on him.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I
We
hope
can.
I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he is the guy, but
Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson says the Steelers, quote, are very limited in what they do in their base defense. Deshaun Watson,
0-3.
someone who can't beat the Steelers, someone who can't stay healthy enough to stay on the field, somebody who is a joke in the league, decides to turn into come on, the coach here, says the Steelers are very limited in what they do in their key defense. Don't get me wrong, maybe, just maybe, because their defense was really good. He's kind of just saying, okay, well, what they do. But on the other hand, who the hell is Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, we're like what, top five scoring defense in the
I mean,
league.
the guy stinks. He's all, he had one. Come on.
He had like one good year, two good years down in Houston. Come on now. Yeah, very limited in what we can do in the base defense. Yeah, no, you're wrong. That's when
Yeah.
we have like, the three down linemen, all four linebackers flying around. Yeah, we're not limited.
Also, was just announced, Mike, the Packers in Philadelphia, the Eagles, I'm sorry, they will play week, they will be the week one game in Brazil. A lot of speculation early on. It could have been the Steelers, maybe, because they are on our schedule. The Philly Eagles are.
Yeah.
But week one, it's a Friday night game. Thursday is the opening. So you have Friday night football that week as well. Thursday will be the opener. I'm sure it's Kansas City and somebody. Friday would be Philadelphia and Green Bay. So a lot of weekend, a lot of football that weekend.
Yeah. It's just weird that it's those two teams down in Brazil. Right. Those teams are like one or two of those teams are really popular down there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird game down in Brazil.
And I do, guys. I have the list of the top 10 richest NFL owners. Yeah, guys, top 10 richest NFL owners. You ready for this?
I'm ready to hear it.
I'm going to start from the bottom, number 10, and I'm going to work my way up. Let's see if any of these surprise you. You ready, guys?
I'm ready.
Derpy?
I'm ready.
All right. You sound so bad. Number 10. Number 10, the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, is the 10th most richest owner in the NFL. He's worth $10.1 billion.
Oh,
10.1. Okay. Number 9, the Patriots. Robert Kraft is the 9th richest owner in the NFL with an $11.1 billion worth. Number 8, Shahid Khan down in Jacksonville. Yep. $12.2 billion. You always hear this guy got a ton of money.
Yeah. Well, his son's doing what he can to burn through it.
And I you ever notice how friendly Britt Baker always gets with Tony Khan?
Yeah, that's why. Dad's.
I mean, as ugly, come on. If that dude didn't have that kind of billions of dollars, Britt
no
Baker
one would
be anywhere.
Know who Tony Khan was if his dad was.
Have you ever noticed how friendly she gets with him, though? Like, it's uncomfortable.
I would too. Tony Khan would be my best friend if I worked for him.
Number 7. The number 7th richest owner in the NFL, Jerry Jones, Dallas Cowboys, $13.8 billion is what he's worth.
And still can't buy a quarterback.
Number 6, the Jets. The New York Jets, the Johnson family.
Yep.
Coming in with a $16 billion. $16 billion. Number 5. Number 5, the L.A. Rams, Stan Kroenke, mm-hmm. I think how you pronounce that.
Frankie Kroenke.
$16.2 billion. $16.2 billion. Number 4, Seattle's owner, the Allen family.
Yep.
$20.3 billion is the worth. Number 3, down to the top 3 richest owners in the NFL. Number 3, David Tepper. In Carolina with a $20.6 billion worth. $20.6 billion.
Cool.
You know how much more? That's even more. You know, it's double what the guy in Jacksonville has.
Yeah.
Number 2, the Hunt family in Kansas City. The Hunt family in Kansas City, $24.8 billion.
And they need the fans to pay for their stadium renovation.
Yeah. They're threatening to leave Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure these people that are working paycheck to paycheck don't need that money.
No.
And number 1, guys, Rob Walton from the Denver Broncos, as Brian said on the board, $77 billion. I mean, that's Elon Musk league there. The second place, guys, the Hunt family in Kansas City, $24.8 billion. Mm-hmm. 24.8, think of that. 3 times more. Rob Walton, $77 billion.
What do you need with all that money?
Oh, you can get anything you want, man.
Right, like anything after like $10 billion, you should get a plaque that says, congratulations, you won capitalism.
But you know what?
And then after that, you just start funding public works.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, what's Elon? I mean, he buys it. I don't know. I guess you could buy things at best. Yeah.
You can buy it, but my God.
You're just keeping
score at that point.
Yeah, I want to keep score.
I just want to hit the $1 billion jackpot and retire.
So there you go, guys. That is your top 10 richest owners in the NFL.
And they
top
all
up the bottom. Rob Walton, $77 billion.
And all of them have, you know, they have a tough time coming up with 10, like $20 million to build a stadium.
Yeah.
It's you know, I mean, they're going to dig through couch cushions. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mike.
That's a lot of fucking money right there.
Yeah, come on. I mean, you know, how much does a stadium cost? $1 billion?
Yeah, probably less than that. A couple hundred million.
I think what the Dallas is $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, that's because Jerry Jones, you know, it's a temple to himself.
But that's what you're suggesting, though. That's what you're saying that these teams should do, these owners should do.
Pay, yeah.
Yeah.
Pay it yourself. You got the money for it. Why do the taxpayers have to use it? Pay for it? Because taxpayers can't go in and use
you
it.
You want to know why? Because we continue to do it. We don't fight
because
it.
We, yeah.
And as long as we keep doing it, it'll never change. Because why? Why would somebody else give up their own money?
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Kansas City because they voted against it and the renovations. Now they're talking, oh, well, we might have to go somewhere that they will pay for it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there in Kansas City.
Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website, man?
The2dumyinzers.com. The number two, DUMYINZERS.com. Over there, we got links to mine and Ryan's own social media. We got the merchandise store. We got the blog up there. That one's getting updated Friday. That's when I usually do it. If you're new here, I do it on Friday. So D2WYinzers.com. Check it out.
Go check it out, everybody. www.D2WYinzers.com. All right, guys. Today's trivia is going to be a trivia question about blown saves. Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Boo!
Boo that man. So, guys, here's a question of the day. This is a trivia question about blown saves. Derp, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I'm ready to boo.
All right. Which Major League Baseball team currently holds the record for most blown saves in a season? Which MLB team currently holds the record with 36 blown saves in a season? This is collectively as a team, not just one player. I'll give you the year as well. 2021, very recent. All I need is a team from you guys. I'm looking for which MLB team currently holds the record with 36 blown saves in a season. That season was 2021, I'm sorry. Which baseball team was it? Therapy, I'm going to start with you. Which team has the most blown saves in a season?
Ooh.
Of course, it's a current team. It's nobody of old. It's no weird names. It's somebody that you'll see, you know, we'll all see this year. It's a current team. In 2021, they blew 36 saves as a team. I'm looking for which team that is, Derpy.
I'm going to go Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals. That's never a bad pick for a trivia like this. They're generally bad. Kansas City, I'm going to go ahead and lock Derpy in. He's locked in. Mike, which MLB team currently holds the record with 36 blown saves in a season? It happened in 2021. I'm just looking for the team. Derpy says the Royals.
I'm going to go off the board here. I'm going to get you. Everyone's looking for a bad team. I'm going to go with the Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers? Mm-hmm. All right. Is that your final answer?
My final answer.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and put that, lock you in on the Texas Rangers. Mike says in 2021, the Texas Rangers had more saves than blown saves than anybody else. Derpy says the Kansas City Royals were that team. Guys, which Major League Baseball team currently holds the record with 36 blown saves in a single season? In 2021, this team did it. Brian on the board says Philly. Derpy says Kansas City. Mike says Texas. The answer, guys, the team that has 36 blown saves, which is the most by a team in a season in 2021, was none other than the Washington Nationals.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hey, Ralph. Good afternoon, sir. Yeah, so the answer, the Washington Nationals, 36 blown saves in 2021. That is the most ever by a team.
Okay.
So David Bednar is well on his way to
breaking
that record by himself, right?
Yes, he is, and I will cheer
Boo him the
him.
Whole way.
I'll cheer him all the way. Oh, every blown save from now on.
Here's another. You guys want to see another? Hear an interesting fact about saves and blown saves?
Yeah.
Here's a fact about Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time. Of course, the longtime Yankee, World Series winner. This is a fact about blown saves. Out of 732 regular season save opportunities is what Mariano Rivera has faced. 732 regular season save opportunities. He blew 80 in his career.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Which sounds like a lot when you hear it, but guess what? 9 out of every 10 trips to the mound, he did get the save. So
that's insane.
80 save, blown saves for Mariano Rivera. So, you know, I think we can make it through this. I think we can survive because, you know what? Despite that happening, the Yankees still managed to get plenty of World Series championships under that time period. So I guess all we have to do is just add a Jeter, a Williams, an O'Neill, A-Rod,
and we'll be okay. Andy Pettit, you know.
Clemens, the whole thing.
You know.
Mike, you have anything before we get ready to take off?
I just shut down the tweet, but JPJ is in Pittsburgh for an official visit, and so is Blake Fisher, the tackle out of Notre Dame. He's projected like a fourth round pick. Both of them are visiting the Steelers today for an official visit. So two positions of need, one player who's been linked to us for like the whole process, and Fisher, people have been, you know, on and off. He's been mocked like fourth, fifth round pick to the Steelers. I've seen on and off. So two that really aren't surprising, but you know, it's nice to finally see that we're
the Steelers go outside the box, make something crazy happen, and
get we're going wide receiver round one.
I was just gonna say, I mean,
we're trading that third round pick, that compensatory pick we got from for who? We're packaging those two up. We're taking a wide receiver round one. I just have that feeling. As long as
you know what? I wasn't earlier, but I am now. I'm starting to get
as
that
long
vibe.
As we can get like one of the centers in the second round, and get a tackle.
Because they're really starting to explain to us why all these centers who aren't the guys we initially heard might be good enough. We're starting to hear a lot more about these names.
Well, when the JPJ started to be talked about, he might fall down into the second round. You're seeing that a lot in the national media. Yeah, he's falling down into the second. One who's talking him down.
Zach Frazier, I mean, the guy, you know, once somebody has Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, you know, that's doomed for them.
It's gonna be interesting to see what happens here. I just have a feeling we are taking receiver round.
Brian on the board followed up to the Mariano Rivera fact that we had. He says, Mariano Rivera blew two in a row in the playoffs versus the Red Sox. I do recall. But you know what? Boy, was those series good, those Red Sox-Yankees, because baseball wasn't really that good at the time except for those series. You remember that? Because it was right after the home run era.
Yeah.
So it wasn't fun anymore. But you know what? They had the series with the Yankees and the Red Sox every year. Too bad they couldn't play it in the World Series. I think that would have made it great. But you know what? That series every year was always something.
Breaking news from Rouse. Steelers are going to take Jurkovic, baby, round one. He's going to be a TE1, baby.
Come on. Stop it. Derpy, anything for you? Anything from you, man? Give us a little report on how you're feeling. I want to hear how you're feeling.
Don't get my supposed sexual transmitted disease.
See, and that's what he wrote to Gabby Marshall, and that's why she blocked him on social media.
Yep.
Derpy.
Mike stole my thunder. I was going to report that.
He does that.
And that's why I'm here, Derpy.
He lays in wait.
That's why I'm here. Excuse me.
I do
want to
say
too.
Thank you to everybody for checking us out. Everybody, thank you for coming and hanging out. We appreciate each and every one of you. We really, 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 really do. We wouldn't do it without you. I want to say thank you to everybody on the board. As always, you keep things interesting here on the show. Mike, again, anything else? Forever hold your peace. What do you got?
Nothing. Just thanks for tuning in, everyone. Like Ryan said, 2 weeks to the draft. I can't wait. I'm geeked.
You want to boo Derpy's scabies? his ringworm?
No, I'm cheering the scabies.
You're cheering it?
I'm all cheering right. the scabies.
All right. All right. I like that. We'll cheer scabies. Derpy, anything else from you, man, before we get ready to go, brother?
Okay, I'll be right there, Bubba.
Come on.
I'll be right there.
What are you doing?
Only a bald man boos his team.
All right, but thanks, guys. Thank you for everybody for watching. This is Hump Day. We have no baseball today. We have no hockey today, but everybody will be back at it tomorrow. Penguins will be back at it against the Red Wings, fighting their way back to a playoff spot, hopefully. Pirates will be opening a four-game set in Philadelphia. College basketball is done, so for the first time in a while, the TV sports is going to be a little scarce tonight, Mike. Not much going on.
Not much going on.
Just try to stay out of trouble in the meantime. But, guys, we will be back the same time tomorrow to do it all over again. Everybody, enjoy your hump day. For Derpy, with the scabies, for Mike, Steelers Central Mobile Studio, myself, the two dumb yinzers. Everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No.